This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Attention Ditto Heads. Attention Bo Scouts.
Goes by the pseudonym Bo Snerdly.
It's time for the Soul of Excellence.
He is a radio host at 77 WABC here in New York.
The Rush Hour is on the air.
Rush.
Now here's Bo Snerdly.
Welcome, my friends. So soon it is Friday. And that means it's the Friday edition of Bo Snerdly's Rush Hour here on WABC. If you would like to join us, 800-848-9222 is the number to reach us, 800-848-9222. It is a busy day. If you are a fan of political theater, this is your day. Every day lately is your day. More political theater in different aspects of American society. Republicans are down to a one-seat majority in the House of Representatives. Mike Gallagher announced that I'm out of here. I'm done. I'm quitting. Ken Buck quit earlier out of the House. I think it was last week, this week. And now we have another one that just says, I'm not going to stick around till November. I'm done. I'm out of here. Disgust is part of what is happening in the Republican caucus. We have another $1.2 trillion spending bill that will take us through the end of the fiscal year in Washington, D.C. Hardline Republicans. I always loved the way that the press goes, hardline. What does that really mean? Hardline Republicans. These are people who, I guess, when they pick up their pens, they draw hard lines as opposed to hardline Republicans. U.S. Representative Chip Roy, one of the most prominent hardline Republicans in Congress, pulls no punches when it comes to how frustrated he is about the $1.2 trillion package that lawmakers are working to pass before midnight on Friday, past the House. Marjorie Taylor Greene has signed on to a motion to vacate the chair. Let's do this again. Let's throw out the I'm sorry, I just find it amusing. Let's throw out the House Speaker and go through that again. Why don't we? Oh, it's not funny, James. Yes, I know. It's not funny. I just have a question. I'm a hardline Republican, according to, I guess, the way I'm not a Republican. I'm a conservative. I'm a hardliner, I guess, according to the way that the mainstream press deals with so-called conservatives. I believe in fiscal responsibility. I've been saying all along that this government is funded on make-believe money. And it is. It's like monopoly money. If you did this in your business, you ran the kind of deficits that our government raises, they'd have you in jail. But it's okay. They're the government. They can come up with, they can create money out of thin air. Breaking news. Marjorie Taylor Greene launches bid to remove Speaker Mike Johnson from office as she files motion to vacate in fury over forcing vote on massive $1.2 trillion funding bill. Republicans in the House have begun the process to remove the Speaker of the House after he and Democrats, yeah, he got more Democrat votes than me. 100 Republicans voted against this thing. The Democrats came in and saved the day. Forced to vote on a $1.2 trillion spending package that upset many conservatives. Firebrand. So let's see, we've got hardlined and now we have firebrands. What did she do? Run around with a torch in her hand? I'm going to set you on fire. She's a firebrand. An arsonist. Firebrand. Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene filed a motion to vacate on the House floor at the same time the chamber was voting on the spending package. The 1,000-page spending deal was the result of long negotiations between Republican Speaker Mike Johnson, Democrat Senate Majority Leader Chuck U. Schumer, and White House officials. Conservatives slammed the bill for having billions in earmarks, funding lawmakers' pet projects in their home district, saying they are fiscally irresponsible. Yes, they are. They always have been. It takes numbers. House majority is now, for Republicans, a one-seat majority. I would like to know from my fellow hardliners, my fellow firebrands out there, what is it that you want the speaker to do? Am I defending him? No, I'm not defending him. But I want to know what you do. I see, here's the thing. I'm okay with the government shutdown. Shut it down. I'm okay with that. But what the problem be? The problem be that most Republicans hate the idea of the government shutting down, including the new House Speaker. I saw something he said today. We did this to keep our government open. Well, I'm okay with it shutting down, but here's the thing. A lot of the same Republicans, except for the hardline and firebranders, are afraid of a government shutdown. And so they'll vote, especially in an election year, against a spending bill like this. Democrats come in and save the day, but are you going to throw away your Republican House Speaker with a one-seat majority? What is it? What is the strategy? I would love to know this. What is the strategy of the hardliners? Of us hardliners? What are we supposed to do here? If you don't want to shut it down and you don't have the numbers to shut it down, do you ditch your own speaker? And then what happens? You get a new speaker after about 4 or 5 weeks of circus-like behavior. And that new speaker says, okay, we got to have a budget. And so they go, I'm sick of these continuing resolutions. We've been running the government on continuing resolutions in these budget deals for almost 20 years now, it seems. May not be 20 years, but it's well over a decade. So how do you do this? What do you do if you don't have the numbers to shut it down? Which I'm okay with. Shut it down until you figure it out. But if you don't have the numbers to shut it down, do you toss your own speaker under the bus? Now, Marjorie Taylor Greene also went on to say, hey, look, this is not going to happen immediately. She says it's more of a warning and a pink slip. There's not a time limit on this. It doesn't have to be forced. But I'm not saying that it won't happen in 2 weeks or it won't happen. That's what she says of her motion to vacate. And how many people is Marjorie Taylor going to get to go along with this motion for vacate? Are you being squishy, James? Are you not telling us? No, I'm telling you exactly what I think. I'm okay with shutting the whole thing down. But the numbers are not there to shut it down. I don't think getting rid of your House Speaker is a good idea, but if you want to make a point, go ahead, get rid of him again. New York Times. House passes spending bill to avert shutdown, prompting GOP mutiny. Well, I thought in a mutiny, if it's a mutiny, what happens? In a 286 to 134 vote that came down to the wire, Democrats rallied to provide the support to overcome a furious swell of opposition by conservative Republicans. Infuriated by the painstakingly negotiated bipartisan legislation to keep funding flowing for the government agencies, including the Pentagon and the Department of Homeland Security, useless department that is, the hard right revolted. And as the vote was still ongoing, Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene of Georgia began the process of threatening a snap vote to out Mr. Johnson. Well, let us also remember that Marjorie Taylor Greene was a big fan of the deposed Kevin McCarthy. And she's been kind of smarting ever since McCarthy was tossed out. One of the McPhails, the three McPhails. Oh, another one of the McPhails got a job today. Do you know who the three McPhails are? This is the beautiful, beautiful, wonderful Princess Diana, who will be with us tomorrow, I believe, on our Saturday morning radio extravaganza. She came up with the three McPhails as a way to express the Republican frustration with their leadership. Kevin McCarthy, at the time Speaker of the House, McPhail number one. Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, McPhail number two. So you had the House and the Senate McPhails, and then you had the McPhail over at the Republican National Committee, Rona McDaniels, McPhail number three, the three McPhails. Now, McPhail number one, McCarthy's out. And that guy, his guy, Patrick, or whatever his name is, that threw down the gavel all mad after he was deposed, he said he's leaving too. He's gone. He's out of there. And they're smarting. They're still ticked off. They're still, Matt Gaetz is still in there eating their craw. They're all mad at Matt Gaetz, who was the guy that, you know, came up with the order to vacate last time. Well, McPhail number two, the turtle, as he was affectionately called by Rush Limbaugh, Mitch McConnell, has announced, I'm stepping out of this. I'm too old for this business. Time to pass on the baton to a younger man. Oh, by the way, I'm going to endorse Trump on the way out. Okay. So he's no longer a factor, even though he's still, for the time being, minority leader, McPhail number two. McPhail three, Rona McDaniels left the RNC. Now they have reshuffled the RNC. They're supposedly going to spend more time dealing with election integrity, et cetera, in this current cycle. They're reshuffling the brand over there at the RNC. But McPhail, number three, Rona McDaniel, she's working. She got a job as a contributor to NBC News, which means pretty soon we'll probably be seeing her on PMSNBC, that low-rated, can't-get-ratings TV effort by the progressives over at NBC to support Joe Biden. So she goes from the RNC over to one of the legacy media networks that hates Republicans. We say that by their coverage, by the way that they've been covering Republicans. So McPhail, number three, is going to be over at, we presume, PMSNBC, but NBC News. Great going, Rona. That's where all the old RNC chiefs, it seems to me, go to rehabilitate their image. Michael Steele, former leader of the RNC, he's over there at PMSNBC. He shows up occasionally and bashes Trump and bashes Republicans. This is a guy whose middle name ought to be Ingrate. When he was running for lieutenant governor of Maryland, which put him on the map politically, Rush Limbaugh, because nobody and the Republican Party would actually donate to this guy, Rush Limbaugh raised all kind of, had his listeners support Michael Steele. Michael has said some horrible things. I know Mike. I've shaken hands with Mike. Mike and I've talked with each other occasionally. But Mike said some horrible things about Rush. And he's over there at PMS NBC. I haven't talked to Mike in years. Ever since he said horrible things about Rush. And so he's over there. And so now Rona goes over to NBC too. So this is where your Republican leaders go. They don't go anywhere to any conservative outlet. They go over there and join the hardest of the hardline progressives. Except they're never called hardline. But they go over to that little rated station over there. I think they have better ratings than CNN, but it's close. Anyway, one of them McPhails. So that's political theater number one. The defense spending bill, by the way, there are some cuts in diversity programs, but abortion funding, still in there. Trans procedures, where your government military is paying for people to have sex change operations, which for the life of me, I don't understand how that promotes the defense of this nation. That's still in there. So I don't blame the hardliners for being upset with what's in there, but I don't know what the political strategy is here. Anyway. Birthday today. For an American genius. We interviewed him. I interviewed him here on Boston Early's Rush Hour. It was a great interview. The one, the only George Benson. Talk about theater. Political Broadway today. George Benson. Born in 1943. Musician, guitarist, singer, songwriting, genius. His breakthrough album, Breezing, triple platinum. 30 million albums sold for Breezing. But he has a body of work that's unbelievable. What's up, Jonas? All right, time, ladies and gentlemen, to check in with the road to the election with our own WABC Noam Layden. Coming up right now on WABC.
James Golden, known popularly as Bo Snerdly.
This is the Rush Hour with Bo Snerdly.
Rush
on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
This is Greg Kelly. To my friends in the construction business, if you've been injured on the job, make just one call to the Construction Accident Lawyers at the law offices of Darren T. Moore. With hundreds of five-star reviews, they fight for more justice for every client and have secured millions of dollars in compensation for New York construction workers. Call 888-444-ATTY. That's 888-444-2889 for a free consultation. More diligence, more persistence, and more justice.
Prior results don't guarantee similar outcomes.
The Rush Hour is on the air. Attention Ditto Heads. Attention Bo Scouts.
Rush
on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
So a birthday today, 1963. Suzanne Sully with the Human League, a Brit group. Found success with their third album, Dare, back in 1981. And of course, this is their big one. Don't You Want Me, Baby. Baby. Okay, it's Friday, and I do want to get to phone calls. I don't want to leave people holding this till the end of the show and only have a second for them. People want to talk about this budget thing. There's a lot of other news out here. Trump, Donald Trump, as you know, there's a big deal today with his social media company, Truth Social, could flip him into a multi-billionaire. Supposedly, the estimates range from $3 to $5 billion, but the money may not be accessible right away. That story's in the news. Letitia James already got her eye on trying to seize Donald Trump properties. The communist, socialist, New York movement goes to try to continue to destroy Donald Trump and his family as best they can. All of that's in the news today. I don't know whether you saw this or not. We talked about squatters yesterday with Andrew Giuliani. After the show, we learned that a woman, a mother, had been, 51-year-old woman, had been killed, allegedly by two teenage squatters who have now been apprehended by the U.S. Marshal Service. They were caught down in Pennsylvania. But that's another one. There's an assemblyman somewhere in New York that has put up a bill to try to bring this squatting nonsense to an end. Don't know how that's going to happen with the legislature that's in New York. Let's see. There's all kind of stuff. If you've been watching videos, there's a video of illegal immigrants just barging right through. Barging right through those officials at the border, on the southern border. That has angered a lot of Americans. On social media, there was calls, why aren't they being responded to with lethal force? Oh, yeah. Dare you do that and see what happens. All kind of things in the news. In fact, you know, I'm thinking about doing a new feature where I just read headlines. I have headlines from about 100 stories that I haven't had a chance to get through. And the headlines, in some cases, are self-explanatory. So I'm thinking about just doing a feature where instead of trying to go through it, I just read headlines and maybe add a comment or two. Thinking about it. We shall see. In the meantime, Saul from Brooklyn is on the line. I believe he wants to talk about the budget. Saul, how are you? Welcome, Saul in Brooklyn, WABC. You're on Boston Early's Rush Hour. How are you doing today?
First of all, good afternoon. I didn't call you to say Happy New Year to you. It's been 3 months. First of all, any place, are you healthy and okay? Because you're getting excited. Okay, good. I'm glad to hear that. You know I'm on opposite side.
Yes.
I want you guys pay the price. First of all, he's going to lose big. And I stop saying communists and things. He broke the law. He, when he was coming to the taxes, he put his property less. When he went
communist.
To the bank, he put his property high. So
Excuse me, Sal. Wait 1 second. Let's have a discussion. Let's not do it the commie way and just do it with just one side. First of all, the banks have the responsibility to do due diligence. They assessed this property. They agreed with him. Secondly, the money was paid back. This is a civil action, not a criminal action, and it's based on bogus charges. But aside from that, let's move on to your other points. What's next?
Well, fine. You justify it the way you want it. I learned not to argue.
I justify it by the law.
No, you just... Wait a second. You're telling me because the bank got paid and I frauded the bank. And by the way, the Deutsche Bank...
He did not fraud the bank. The bank... When you go to take a loan, what do? Saul, come on. Stop playing ignorant on this. You know better. They assess your property. And they say if you come in with an assessment that's ridiculous, they won't give you a mortgage. The bank agreed that the properties were worth what they said they were worth. That's why they gave him the loans. This is a nothing burger except for hungry, vindictive, social, and commie-like dictators who want to strip this man and destroy this man like they used to do in the old Soviet Union. Now, let's talk about something else. Budget. Let's do it. Let's get to it.
Budget. Let's go to the budget. Let's go to the budget. Finally, we got somebody with a calm manner as a speaker that is trying to move the country forward. Even I don't like the guy. Even I against all his policy, he's doing it. But let me just say something to your side. I hope Marjorie Greene filed the vacate. Because you know what? You guys don't understand. There will be no impeachment inquiry because the Congress is shut down.
What has this got to do with the budget, the impeachment inquiry? First of all, I'm the one, if you listen carefully, Saul, who kept saying people it's not a good idea to do this as an impeachment inquiry. When it came, I said, okay, fine. But I had a guy that used to call me every day. He used to say, impeach him. And he's from Indiana. And I would say, no, you shouldn't impeach him. You don't impeach until you actually have the numbers to convict. And there's no way that Joe Biden's going to be convicted in the Senate. I said all along impeachment was a waste of time politically. Okay? But in an election year, it's one thing that's coming out of this. It's good to see how corrupt the Biden family is. But on impeachment, that's another nothing burger. What else you got with the budget, though? What about the budget?
Oh, so the budget issue cannot be resolved if the both party, they don't sit and talk to each other. The problem, you know what? I got to give you something to your old boss. In 1999, when Newitt was dealing with Clinton.
Okay, I tell you what, we have to go to a break. I don't want to just turn you off. I'm going to ask them to hold you. Just hold on and finish the thought when we get back, because we are late for a break. We can't stand being late. Let's do this thing. 1957, birthday girl, Stephanie Mills. She came to America's attention during the Broadway production of The Wiz, and her career exploded from there. Of course, her big single, 1980. This one, Never Knew Love. James Golden, time for Kim Komando as we check in for traffic and Kim on WABC Boston Early's Rush Hour. Stay with us.
James Golden, known popularly as Bo Snerdly.
This is the Rush Hour with Bo Snerdly.
Rush
on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
Rush.
It's the Rush Hour with Bo Snerdly on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
We don't need no education.
You want to know why the 80s are considered like the golden age in a way of music? Because of music like this. Pink Floyd, Another Brick in the Wall. On this day, started a four-week run at number one on the United States singles chart. Not only that, it went number one UK, Germany, Australia, Italy. Worldwide hit for Pink Floyd here on WABC. Yeah, that was before the Don't Say Gay bills, even. And I'm using that in parentheses. Because that's not what the bills really are about, but that's... Saul, I'm back with you. Okay, Saul, nail this on the budget. What is your objection to the discussion that we had on the budget?
I'm going to the budget. I'm going to tell you something. Your old boss, which passed away, which I never liked him, he had an idea... Well, I had an idea once upon a time, which Newitt and Clinton, they used. The both party, they have to sit down and put their high end on the side. Not my way or highway. The problem, Bo, is this. The both parties are so extreme that they refuse to sit down and talk like a gentleman and ladies. You have to give and you have to get. That's not going to happen these days. So I'm very sorry to tell you, you can complain, you can make a big deal about the deficit. As long as both parties, they don't want to sit down and give and get, it's not going to solve anything. And we got
to... Well, see,
nice,
here's the problem with
right
that.
Now.
The Democrats get. That's the problem. They get more money. If you look at this budget deal, the Democrats got pretty much what they wanted. They don't get everything they wanted, but they get a lot of what they wanted. Their priorities are still in there. The conservative priorities are never in there. And that's simple a matter of numbers. They did what you just said. They just sat down and talked. Speaker Johnson met with Democrats, met with Chuck U. Schumer, met with whoever's representing, whoever pretends to be Biden, and they came up with this deal. The Democrats got a lot in this deal. Republicans, not so much. And the Republicans are in the majority, and they don't understand. How is it that we're in the majority and we never get what we want? So that's the problem here. But what I'm suggesting is, and I'm not complaining about it, I'm just reporting it. It's numbers. Conservatives do not have the numbers to dictate what happens in the House. And that's the problem. It is a political problem that needs one solution. Conservatives have to win more elections. And then we can defeat you guys and your crazy budget ideas. Like the way that you spend money. Saul, I got to go. I always love hearing from you. I'm back tomorrow. You're welcome to call me anytime. I love discussing politics with you, Saul. You're a gentleman. We may be on the opposite sides of the aisle, but you and I have good discussions, and I hope you're doing well. I hope you give me a call whenever you want to. Susan in upstate New York, you are up next. How are you? Hello, Susan. Yes, Star.
Hi. Yes.
Hi.
I'm here. Listen, did you hear Chuck Roy this morning when he discussed what was in that bill?
That's horrible. There are a lot of horrible things in this bill and all kind of crazy earmarks in it. But like with Chip, and I'm saying, okay, so what's the strategy here? And by the way, this is another one of those where they throw these bills out at the last minute, don't give anybody time to read through them. That's not supposed to happen. According to House rules, members are supposed to have 72 hours to go over these bills. It never happens. I don't even know why they even bother making these rules that no one pays attention to. But anyway, go ahead, Susan.
Also, can you hear me?
I hear you fine. What's up?
Okay. So also, that they're supposed to get, they agreed, 72 hours. So Johnson did not follow through on the rules that they all agreed to. And this is a Democrat bill. It is more than what Nancy Pelosi's budget was by over like $30 billion. So this is, he's got to go. Johnson, he also said that he would not have any spending if the border wasn't shut. We saw how the border is yesterday, and
So what's the strategy? Susan, I'm asking you what the strategy is. All right, let's say we dump this guy. Let's say, okay, we've had enough, Speaker Johnson, we dump him. So we're right back to threats of a government shutdown. Democrats are going to vote to keep the government open. Whoever the House Speaker is, unless he's going to go along with the idea that there should be a government shutdown until we get the way, what's the strategy?
Get rid of these Republicans, so-called Republicans that voted for this bill, and they're lying about the money that's in there for the border
and replace
security.
Them
it's in
with
for processing.
Who? Okay, Susan, and replace them with who? Because if you get rid of them and you replace them with other moderates, the same thing is going to happen. If you replace them with Democrats, worse is going to happen. So I'm not trying to be difficult. I'm really asking the question, what is the strategy that gets us from point A, where we are now, to point B?
We all got to go on social media and call out these people and primary them. They are in bed with the people who want to destroy our standard of living, which is the big corporations are all in this. And I'm afraid that Johnson has McCarthy's people still in there. And that, we can thank McCarthy because, remember, it was supposed to have a cap on the spending. Well, that went out the window. We're going to be like Venezuela, and people just got to wake up and realize we're being lied to. We can see it in that video. Our lying eyes saw what happened yesterday when all those military-age men stormed the border, and then
that's
our
right.
Border Patrol had to stop and process them.
Right. That is one of the most disturbing videos. If you haven't seen it, folks, seek it out. Look what happened at your southern border yesterday. It's like, screw your laws. We're coming in anyway. And nothing. Okay, Susan, thank you for the call. Appreciate it. You know, we're going to have 3 hours tomorrow to talk about this and other stuff. And I'm going to encourage all of you to do that. We're going to continue with phones. We've got to check in with Lou Dobbs here on WABC. Yes, Rich, why are we playing this one?
Oh, somebody has a birthday today. Give me a second here.
I know who has a birthday. It's Patrick Olive, right?
Patrick Olive, that's the man.
Yeah, WABC Talk Radio 77. Coming right back. Keep it right there. Since you came along,
you sex a thing. James Golden, known popularly as Bo Snerdly.
This is The Rush Hour with Bo Snerdly.
Rush
on the Red Apple Podcast Network. The Rush Hour is on the air. Attention Ditto Heads. Attention Bo Scouts.
Rush
on the Red Apple Podcast Network.
1965, The Temptations released their second studio album. The Temptations sing Smokey, featuring the music of written and composed by Smokey Robinson. And out of that album emerged their first really smash hit, My Girl, written, of course, by Smokey Robinson.
James Golden, a.k.a. Bo Snerdly, presents Rapid Phones.
Let's start off in Maryland. Victor, thank you for your patience in waiting. How are you doing, Victor?
I'm doing okay. I'm a little bit nervous from what I heard you talking about yesterday. Did that woman ever get her house back, the one in Queens?
Nope, not yet. Nope, she was arrested. Now, two of the squatters have since left. Because some what they call vigilantes, some other people showed up. And so two of the three squatters left. There's still one squatter who claims that he has a legal lease to be there. And that's the last we've heard of it in the news. But no, she didn't get her house back. And since then, we learned another two squatters allegedly killed a woman in New York, stuffed her body in a duffel bag, and then fled to Pennsylvania where they were picked up. This squatting thing is out of control. Of course, yesterday we also informed you that there is a quote-unquote migrant on TikTok explaining to other migrants that they should squat in unoccupied houses during their stay here in America as a way to stay. So, Victor, yes, there's reason to be concerned. All right, thank you for the call. Let's go to Jamie in Florida. How are you, Jamie?
I'm great, Bo. I love your show. I love the music you play. I don't care for all your guests, like that liberal guy that came on before. But anyway, what I wanted to say about the budget is that it's like Obama's red line. If you're not going to stop it, if you're not going to hold it, then they're going to keep running over you. And that's what I think the hardliners are trying to get. So yes. I don't know how they're going to get there, but they need to get there because we really need this done.
Well, that's why I keep asking, what is the strategy? If you don't have the numbers to sustain a government shutdown, then you are not going to get there, plain and simple. And if you don't have the political will to actually take these people on and use your power as Congress, your constitutional power to control the budget, then you don't get there. And you can swap out as many speakers as you want. But unless you're willing to stand and say, okay, this is the point where we shut this thing down until there are changes, and it may be shut down for a while. If you don't have the political will to do that, you're not going to get anything, period. Because the Democrats know they can roll you. Okay, let's check in with Robert in Brooklyn, New York. How are you, Robert?
Hi, and thanks for taking my call. Well, tactically speaking, I don't think Marjorie Taylor Greene can do much under this situation. I don't have a one-seat majority. What I wanted to talk about is Netanyahu. He asked to speak privately with the Democrat and Republican senators. The Republican said, sure, they'll let him speak. That's what David Friedman just tweeted out. But Schumer said no. The Democrats would not even listen to Netanyahu. He would not even listen to Netanyahu. So shame on Schumer, shame on the Democrats, and also Biden trying to get the ceasefire thing resolution in the UN and accusing Israel of genocide when Israel was the victims of genocide. Just shame on the Democrats and shame on all those anti-Semites who are going along with this.
And Antony Blinken's over there again suggesting that he knows better than Netanyahu how to run the affairs of Israel. It is unbelievable obnoxiousness. On the point, he's saying that we need, what did he say today? We need some sort of coherent plan. Israel needs a coherent plan. Oh, yeah, like the coherent plan that the Bidens have to just cut and run out of Afghanistan. Like the coherent plan that the Bidens have to stop the invasion of American soil. Coherent plan. This guy goes over there and lectures Netanyahu, who's actually showing how to take care of terrorists who want to kill you. It is unbelievable. Gerard, in Brooklyn, New York, you are up next.
Yes, sir, Mr. Bo, how are you today?
Very good, thank you. What's on your mind?
Yes, I tried to call yesterday regarding the squatter situation. I couldn't get through. But I just wanted to mention to you and maybe any of the listeners out there that there was a 1990 movie starring Michael Keaton and Melanie Griffin and her husband. They buy a house in California, and they fix it all up, and Michael Keaton rents one of the rooms. They can't get rid of him. He never opens the door. He doesn't pay the rent. He infests the house with bugs. It's basically the blueprint on how to get the courts on your side to squat.
Rich is familiar with that movie. What's the name of that movie, yes, Rich?
Yeah, that was Pacific Heights.
Yeah, the name of it is Pacific Heights.
Boom. There you go. Well, look, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. And my friends, that is about it for us on this Friday edition of Bo Snerdly's Rush Hour. May God bless, protect each and every single one of you, your family, and your loved ones. Love and gratitude for your being here with me and allowing me to be with you. God willing, back in the morning, 7 a.m., I have that story. We are going to do that story at some point during the show tomorrow. Yes, the story on that the Daily Mail did on a book all about the things that men like putting up their bums. We'll be back, God willing, tomorrow, 7 a.m. Hope you're here. Till then, my friends, bye.